Greetings to you all. This is David Gortner from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and this is Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho. Good day. This is the sermon from the end of June, and it was a hot one. And I am so glad to be back with you all after a long trek to the Midwest. We dropped off our two teens at their summer camps in Minnesota and Michigan. And hope everyone has been well since I was gone for about 9 days. Besides being a good time of powering down and a deep renewed appreciation for the beauty of this country, I learned one thing about myself on this trip. I'm not built to be a long distance trucker or a road warrior. It's not me. So God be with you this day that you're hearing this, and through these days of intense heat, as we all face this tremendous heat that has settled over this region and not moved, and is unlike anything we've seen in recent history. If anyone needs a place to stay cool during these days, please come to the church during the week. I'm here just about every day. We prayed on Sunday for all the athletes who came from all over to compete in the triathlon. And what a time for this competition to happen. Wow. These people are incredibly strong and resilient who run the triathlon and swim and bike. And they know how to push their strength, but also how to read their own bodies to gauge when they're truly at some limits that they should not cross. So we prayed for their wisdom and their strength and gentleness with themselves, even as they entered this contest with such extraordinary heat against them all. So it raises the question, what is strength? What is strength? What is power? An event like today's triathlon puts an image of personal strength and power right in front of us, and we cheer them on and marvel at what the individual body can do and can bear when well-trained. Let's face it, I am no triathlete. I have trouble running a mile. I have trouble motivating myself to start or stay steady with or resume any consistent exercise routine besides my daily dog walk. But I have a prior student, a priest, who's a triathlete. And her commitment to training is amazing. She did observe when she was pregnant and then gave birth that all of her training as an athlete did not really prepare her for the very different but very real strength and power required to bring a life into the world. Today we continue our journey of looking at power as it's shown to us in Scripture through the lessons that we are encountering over this summer. And today we heard from the beginning of 2 Samuel about David lamenting the death of Saul and Jonathan, and from Mark about two miraculous healings by Jesus. And I have a couple of questions for you. One, what kind of power do you see in these readings from Scripture today? And two, how did David exercise power? And what kind of power did David demonstrate in how he mourned publicly, even for Saul, who had sworn himself to be David's enemy and to hunt him down? And then three, what do we learn about the exercise of power from Jesus in the healing of the woman who had a bleeding affliction and in the raising of the little girl? We might not immediately think about power in relation to these readings, but there is power, an amazing form of power that's part of these stories. When we say it's the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, yes, that's true. But what does that actually look like in these stories? So what we hear today is the power of an open heart and life. The power of being available, being accessible, being touchable. We can think of some powerful examples of people who show us just what this power of openness and availability availability looks like. So in the wider world, there is Amma, A-M-M-A, Amma, the contemporary Hindu spiritual leader, who's known for her generous spirit and warmth, often shown in the gift she gives of hugging people. People from all over the world come to see her, to be seen and greeted with her amazing warmth, and to be enfolded in her embrace. As she embraces each person, she gives herself to them. She opens herself to honoring each person as a beloved and to letting the love of the divine flow through her. She allows herself to become a channel of a powerful healing love greater than anything she alone could give. She opens herself to both the divine and to each person, allowing herself to be touched and to have power flow through her. In our own Christian history, there is Francis of Assisi, who found himself drawn to pouring himself out in love and service to others at all levels of society. At a time when leprosy was feared and lepers were still banished to the outskirts of society for fear of contagion, Francis felt drawn by Jesus to reach out, touch, and bathe and cleanse a leper he met begging. He even ended his time embracing and kissing this man with leprosy. Here's an account from Thomas of Celano, who wrote about Francis's life. So it goes like this. Francis said, "When I was in sins, it seemed extremely bitter to me to look at lepers, and the Lord himself led me among them, and I practiced mercy with them. So greatly loathsome was the sight of lepers to him at one time," he used to say, "that in the days of his vanity, he would look at their houses only from a distance of 2 miles, and he would hold his nostrils with his hands. But now, when the grace and the power of the Most High was upon him, he was beginning to think of wholly useful things. While he was still clad in secular garments, he met a leper one day, made stronger than himself in the moment, and he kissed him. Then the holy lover of complete humility, this man Francis, went to the lepers and lived with them, serving them most diligently for God's sake. And washing all foulness from them, he wiped away also the corruption of the ulcers." Now, later Franciscans tried to be this generous in spirit during the Black Plague, and let's just say that didn't work well for them, as that pandemic was incredibly contagious and vigorous. But Franciscans have been, over the centuries, at the heart of a respectful care and love for those who have often been outcast. And in our own Episcopal Church today, a woman named Kays Gadaway has dedicated herself in recent years to bringing bags and backpacks of food, basic clothing, and toiletries to homeless people across her region in Arizona. She began this ministry of love and care before the pandemic and continued throughout the pandemic, drawing together donations from people and purchases with donated funds to assemble these packs and then bring them directly to people in her car. She's consistently gone beyond simply dropping off the packs and has gotten out of her car to meet and sit with people, talk with them, and hear their stories. She makes herself radically and completely available to them, continuing to set aside any of her own biases and letting their stories change her perspectives on them and on life. And she then shares these stories, these encounters, with people around the country and world on Facebook, inviting us all to see with fresh eyes and find our own heart of compassion. She makes herself a channel, a conduit for the stories of those who are rarely heard and are often dismissed. God's grace flows both ways through her, to homeless people and from them to us. These are examples of an open heart, friends. And today in our scriptures, we hear of such openness in the stories of David and of Jesus. So, back to David. We have, throughout David's life, an example of the power of an open heart. An imperfect person, but deeply open. And in today's reading, the power of an open heart even to those who have become enemies, as Saul had become to David. David had loved and devoted himself to Saul, but Saul had become jealous of David's successes in battle and overall goodness as a person and the way he was admired by the people. So he attacked him in jealous rage and pledged to hunt him down. In 2 Samuel, we hear all about the kingship of David over Israel, but it begins with this lament. And 1 Samuel ends with the tragic death of Saul on the battlefield. The enemies of Israel had won the battle, the soldiers of Israel had fled, and Saul's sons had already been killed. Surrounded by carnage, he turned to his arms bearer and ordered him to kill him so that he would not be captured or killed by the enemies of Israel. The arms bearer, in honor and care for Saul, would not do this. So Saul fell on his own sword, and the arms bearer, in grief, did the same, dying by his king's side. When David heard the news, he tore his clothes and began to weep along with other leaders. Friends, it takes courage. It takes strength. It takes a courageous openness to weep for others, and especially to weep for those who have opposed us. And it demonstrates a kind of strength to others because it opens a gateway to human compassion and tenderness that is rooted in strong love and in care for something greater than oneself. Now think about those in national service who have died in recent years, whom the nation has mourned, who have been lain in state in the nation's capital and viewed with respect given by Republicans and Democrats alike and from leaders across the political spectrum. The nation marked in mourning the deaths of John McCain and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and John Lewis, just to name a few. And almost every significant leader from all perspectives came to view them and to speak about them, not just showing up, but giving voice to the sorrow of a people, even when it may not be one's own sorrow, even when someone who has stood against you or even advanced against you is now dead. So, friends, do we have the courage to mourn for our enemies? Does each one of us have the heart to open to the tender mercies of God flowing powerfully through us to others, in life and in death, even if someone has fought with us and we with them? This is just one way to show the power of radical openness, a radical openness that means being available in heart, soul, body, mind, and strength, allowing ourselves and opening ourselves to allow our powers to flow out from you and me to others. Even when that flow does not begin with our own action, but may actually start with someone else's call for us and respect and request for us. Jesus let power flow through him. One might say that Jesus was truly a spiritual triathlete. Yeah, so spiritual triathlete. He knew how to take rest and time to refuel and refresh away from others, absolutely, alone with God. But when he entered a space with others, he was fully available, fully open, fully accessible, full steam, complete openness, healing and feeding and bringing good news to whomever came. So Jesus entered the crowds fully available and started off this journey today by making himself available to someone who asked for him to bring his healing power into his house for the sake of his beloved daughter. Jairus asked for his daughter's healing. And Jesus let power be available from him and let power readily flow from him to others. And as he's walking through the crowd, he continues to let that be available, even to the point of having the tap open, if you will, so that someone in prayer and need could reach out and touch him. So a woman whom no one could cure of her bleeding and pain could reach out and touch Jesus. And Jesus felt the flow of healing power move through him and out of him to someone. This is a kind of generosity that's the very heart of God. And at the very heart of God, what it means also at very heart to be human, made in God's image. It's the God who cannot help but give and let the power of life-giving, liberating love flow forth. And the God who's willing to be touched and seized upon, who doesn't need to grant permission, but just grants access to the generosity of God's very own being. What a power to offer in a world where there's such grief. How might we offer this power of availability and openness of ourselves to others now, in a time of grief and sorrow, as we mourn now the deaths of 600,000 people and more from the coronavirus in this nation and millions around the world? As we mourn what has been a year and more, 16 months and more of death, as we mourn the deaths of many thousands from drug overdoses, as we see the long enduring sorrow of those who have lost loved ones or jobs or homes. As we come forth from this pandemic, friends, we have the sorrows of what we've been through. And it's important for us to acknowledge and sit with people in that sorrow, even as we give thanks for renewing life and energy that's bursting out again all around us. So to make a beginning, friends, I invite each one of you, as you go forth today, and I invited people as they left church or the park on Sunday, to connect with someone you don't usually connect with and find a way to make yourself more fully available and accessible to that person in whatever brief time you talk together. As you pay attention fully to the other person and give yourself fully, also take note of yourself and how truly open and available you are being in your posture, in your eye contact, in the openness of your spirit and your mind and heart, in how you are in your face and your arms, how relaxed you are, in how you might reach out with a handshake or embrace. This is just a small start, but it's important. It's a way to practice today and each day going forward. This is how we build muscle and skill, not all at once with a deep dive, but step by step by step into the waters of God's grace that flows all around us. And let us all open ourselves as fully as we can to the one who meets us and feeds us with his own presence at this table of God's grace, of God's overflowing grace. Amen.